Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the pause.
No, stop laughing. The podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today
we have an extra special guest, a writer whose credits include The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. It's John Haskell.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. And I feel like I can't not comment on how good the intro song is. I have some questions about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe just like, are you performing it?
No.
No, it's a friend of ours.
Their ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Sadly,
it's a little sensensive subject.
Our theme song did tear them apart.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Okay. I don't know.
They kept fighting about how good it was, and then they had to break up.
Okay, so it's kind of a loaded theme. But nonetheless, I really like it, and I hope that they have a civil relationship. Now,
thank you. I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah, we haven't checked in, but yeah. I think
okay.
But you know, our friend Andrew is just a musical genius.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. I love it.
Agata and I do not sing. We're both, you know, me by mo moo kind of people.
I actually have a beautiful singing voice. I'm just very shy.
I have heard you do Evanescence at karaoke.
Evanescence?
Did you?
Ooh, nice.
No, I don't think so.
Did what's that song you always sing with Andy?
Oh, that's System of a Down.
Oh, System of a Down.
System of a Down? Like the wake up?
That one. Chopsy.
Yeah, Chopsy, that's right.
It's a very fun karaoke song. It's the only one I do. I'm not a karaoke person. That's okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Don't come at me with pitchforks, everybody. I don't like it.
Are you a singer, John?
I had some karaoke years in my life, but I don't know if I'm good at singing. It's fun to do sometimes. That's a pretty boring answer, but middle ground.
You don't have to be good.
I mean, there. Okay. It's fun to do sometimes. There's no truer statement about karaoke. So thanks for joining us. We're excited to chat with you. Let's start with how you got into basketball.
Oh, how I got into basketball. Well, I grew up in the 90s. I was... And I think I was just popular among all my friends. Like the Hornets were a new team and like their starter jackets and like that teal color, the logo was so like popular. And like, so already the image of the league was so cool. But I think I started playing. I was always a short kid. I'm like 5'6". I think I stopped growing at like 13 or something. And like, I always loved playing basketball, and I played like JV. And then when I transferred to like, not transferred, we moved and I went to like a public school for the first time, and I made varsity by the skin of my teeth. But I was just like, I think brought on as like the silly 12th man for like morale and like goofballedness. But I don't know. It's just always been a sport that's like near and dear to my heart, and then watching it rules too. So I think just that.
Yeah. And you know, we were just talking about the starter jackets and just how
so good.
Those were so popular. Like, you didn't really have to be into sports to want a starter jacket.
I still want one.
Yeah. They're cool.
Yeah. They were awesome. So puffy, and the ones that like zipped halfway down, and then I remember Brooke Shields was in a commercial, and I was like probably 9 at the time. And I had no idea who like celebrities or Brooke Shields was, but I remember she was in the commercial. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have the biggest crush. Like, who is this? She just like whispered starter. She looked at the camera and whispered starter. I was like, oh my God.
That's all it took for you to fall in love.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe that was one of the things that got me into basketball too. Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields. Wow. Mm-hmm. No one's ever given that answer.
They should try a new campaign where they
bring her back, right?
Yeah.
What's she up to?
Yeah, what is Brooke Shields up to? Does anyone know?
No, I haven't seen her in a long time.
I used to remember that sitcom she was in.
Suddenly Susan.
Suddenly Susan.
Oh, that was like yes. the '90s, right?
Yeah.
I think it was like late '90s, or yeah, it was.
It was a little bit after the Starter commercial. Yeah.
Your life is like a pre and a post that commercial.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's how I. Yeah. Like when was your 15th birthday? I'm like, it was 5 years after the Starter commercial.
Yeah,
I hope she's doing well. I always she's just
getting started according to the Washington Post. She doesn't like Squid Game.
Why?
What is this article? What's the point? She doesn't like sex education. It's too much for her.
She's in a Christmas movie called A Castle for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That's coming out on Netflix November 26th.
Let's watch it. We'll probably watch it.
Definitely.
We have a couple friends who are truly obsessed with Christmas movies. As soon as it hits, you know, December 1st, it's and just a nonstop stream.
Do they like ones that are also like cheesy Hallmark ones too?
Yes.
Like anything?
Yes. All of them. Anyone.
The bad
any
ones.
And all.
The medium ones.
Do you know if they know of, or do you know yourself, one called Single Santa Seeks Mrs. Claus, starring Steve Guttenberg? And
is that Lifetime?
It's a Hallmark movie.
Oh, Hallmark. Okay.
I think. It's just great. Bad.
I have never heard of it, but it sounds amazing.
I'm sure your friends know of it. Yeah, Crystal Bernard. Yep.
Okay. 2004. Wow. Okay.
I love Gutenberg. I'll watch anything Gutenberg.
Yeah, I think that's a good credo to go by.
Yeah, I always just think of that Party Down episode with him in it.
That's a great episode.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
Oh man, it's so good.
Essentially, there's a party at Steve Guttenberg's house that they're coming to cater, and when they arrive, he's like, "Oh, there's no party. I forgot to tell you.
But just like come in and hang out with me." And then, like, they explained it later that, like, they didn't have the budget to have, like, extras and people at the party. So they just always had to come up with some excuse for why there were no people around in every episode.
That's incredible. So that was, like, scripted based on budgetary constrictions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was very low budget. That show was on Stars for, like, very little money.
Yeah.
But one of my favorites.
Also, Steve Guttenberg is in this movie from late 80s, early 90s, I'm not sure, called Boyfriend School. And I just so happened to catch it on TV back in the day. And essentially, he's like a nerd who's like learning how to date women. And whoever's teaching him, I can't remember who it is, tells him that he should have an Australian accent. And he comes up with this persona called Lobo.
How have I never heard of this?
And he like rides a motorcycle. It's so funny. And he just keeps saying Lobo rides alone.
I've never heard of this.
It's a bad but very funny movie.
This looks incredible. It looks like he's playing a Nicolas Cage character or something. Oh,
I think that is the idea.
Oh my god. I love Nicolas Cage. We watched have you seen Pig?
I have not seen Pig yet, no.
We one of our guests was telling us about it, and then we went and watched it, and it's amazing.
Okay. Yeah,
I highly recommend.
Don't want to hype it though.
No, but okay. it's good. It's really good.
No, I would love it. I heard that it was a little bit like slow, but like worth it, but a slow grind. I don't know. Is there anything?
Yes, that's true. It is. Okay. If you got to stick with it.
Yeah.
And it pays off. Also, we didn't know anything about it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I knew a little bit had been spoiled for me, but
that's the best, though, when you watch a movie and know nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you're like, what the hell is happening right now?
Yeah.
But it's definitely slow in the beginning, but definitely pays off.
Yeah.
Very, very good movie. A bit of a tearjerker.
I loved it. And I also loved Mandy, too, his last movie.
Oh, I didn't see Mandy.
Oh, so good.
Me neither.
Very weird. It was very weird and like super gory and crazy, but like I was into it.
I love he's one of those actors that I think is making cool career choices later on. They're just kind of like picking the movie. Like some are maybe actual good movies, but some are ones that they somehow know like this is going to be a weird, shitty movie, but people will love that I'm in it.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
What's your favorite Nicolas Cage movie?
Gosh, that's Vampire's tough. Kiss is pretty good.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen that either.
Is that what it's called, Vampire's Kiss? I think that's the one where he's sort of like, oh yeah, Gabe, do we know?
Yeah, it is called Vampire's Kiss. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll look it up too.
No, I saw you nodding, so I was like, oh, Gabe's a fan.
I've never seen that.
It's a pretty good one. It's got some kind of iconic bad Cage acting moments. One where I think he's like running through the alphabet.
Oh, that's what this gif is from?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that all over Twitter. Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Gotta watch it. My favorite Nicolas Cage movie is Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. Have you guys seen that?
I haven't. No.
Gabe's nodding.
When did it come out?
It's a Herzog movie. It's very weird, as are all his movies. All Nicolas Cage's movies. And I just was obsessed with it. I thought it was very fun. I don't know when that came out.
I didn't know Werner Herzog did scripted stuff. Maybe
he does, like, occasionally. Yeah. He likes to experiment.
Yeah, sometimes he gets tired of like just rolling on bears for 10 hours.
Are you watching?
You must never listen to this. It's my impression. It's really good.
Are you watching the new season of Great British Bake Off by any chance?
Yes, yes.
You know Jürgen?
Yes, yeah. What do we think of Jürgen?
I love Jürgen, but he sounds like Werner Herzog to me. Mm. Like at one point he said, I do not eat babies. And I was like, that feels like a Werner Herzog.
What is the context for that?
So he made a bread in the shape of a baby. One of the hosts, Noel, was like joking with him, like, oh, you eat babies. And he just very seriously was like, I do not eat babies.
That's so funny.
But German people
are known for like not having, they're very serious. Like, yeah. They don't joke around.
I mean, he's not serious, but he always has like a serious tone, which I think
is there's something like I love Jürgen too. I think that there seems to be like the fact that he even chose to make a baby cake shows that there's he's not just like this. He's super nice and cute, but there's something like deep, like he knew that maybe doing a baby cake would be kind of provocative in some way, or like he likes to poke the bear a little bit there. And I think, I don't know how far along are you? Actually, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone if they're watching it or listening. But
I'm caught up.
I am not.
But
okay,
you can be cryptic if you want.
Actually, I don't think it will spoil anything really. But like, I think Noel or Matt was like talking with Jürgen, and they made a joke about like, or talked about, what if Christelle wins a Star Baker or something? And Jürgen seemed to throw a little bit of shade. He made a comment that made it seem like he said something like, oh, then we won't be able to hear for 2 days or something. Like it seems like
she's loud.
I think so. I need to go back. I don't want to be like propagating this like Jürgen.
You're going to start beef.
Yeah, you're starting rumors on this show.
No, this is not meant for beef. But if you get to that episode and hear it, let me know, because it seemed like he was throwing a little bit of shade, and I was like, oh my gosh, Jürgen.
I'm going to watch it. I'll let you know.
I think he is a little spicy.
Yeah, but I like that. I mean, it's nice to have a little spice.
Yeah. Paul doesn't like spice, but...
Oh, yeah. Paul, he's like, ouchie, ouchie. My mouth hurts.
But I have to say, like, I love everybody in this season. Like, I've really been enjoying it because everyone's so sweet and like funny and
they all kind of have like, I love how you like kind of don't know a person at first, and then maybe episode 4 you're like, oh, they're really like, you kind of get into them in waves. Like I felt that way with Lizzie, kind of like at the beginning. I was just sort of like, oh, like she's a good baker. I didn't really catch her personality that much in the first few, but then as she continued to be on it, I was like, she's super funny. She just does what she wants, and like I became Team Lizzie suddenly.
Oh, me
but I
too.
Love that. Yeah, yeah.
I love Lizzie. She's from Liverpool, and she has like a pretty thick Scouse accent. And
Can we talk Maggie for a second?
Yo, Gabe has a theory about Maggie. Gabe, do you want to share it?
Yeah, let me hear the theory.
Oh, I just, it's not really a theory. It's just something I know deep in my soul, which is that Maggie voted for Brexit.
Oh, no. Well, that could be true. I mean, I think she had like a very massive or like quick downfall on the show. Like she came out of the gates hot and she was kind of this like lovable baker and she was, I think, killing
it. Old school
and like kind of and then like episode 3 or something, she just almost seemed like a different person. Like I feel like the jokes she was telling that were sort of used to be endearing, they started to sound sort of like crazy and weird. and her baking just like dropped off. So maybe like, I don't know, that like kind of makes the Brexit theory seem a little bit more appropriate. I might be team Brexit Maggie on this one.
Yeah, Maggie is a mess. Like they should all have to
announce on the first episode whether they voted for Brexit.
They should. Because I don't want to root for someone. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Maggie. I voted for Brexit and 5'7".
I love that idea.
Yeah. I'll call it Paul.
Paul, how tall do you think Paul is?
5'10".
Yeah, I was gonna say 5'10".
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. Prue's taller than him, I think.
Oh yeah, and they certainly
5'7".
5'7". Whoa.
Wow.
That actually makes sense.
He doesn't seem, I mean, I thought he was taller, but I guess I'm wrong. Internet never lies.
He carries himself with a more confidence
he's got that daddy energy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Tan daddy.
Yeah. But didn't he cheat on his wife or something?
Yeah. So he came to America to do the American version of Ooh. Great British Bake Off and had an affair with an American while he was here.
Yikes.
And then I'm pretty sure that show failed miserably. Right.
Right.
And then
nobody wanted that.
Went back to the U.S. I think his marriage to the U.K. and his marriage fell apart.
Oh, no.
Fame is a monster. It can get anybody.
Yeah. But who would have thought? He's so like cocky and self-confident, but he's just like a short bread maker.
That really is true.
He's got like just like very confident, like, daddy energy.
But that's one reason I like Lizzie, because Lizzie, she'll be like, I see you staring down my bread. But my bread can't stare back, it don't have eyes. And it's like she just like makes fun of Paul all the time. It's so cute.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it.
We should change this to a Great Bake Off podcast.
I've a couple people in our Cutie Nation Discord say that they have fantasy leagues for Bake Off,
and we have a whole thread in there where people talk about every episode. Wow.
So I feel like that would be fun to do, like, next season, do a fantasy league and like follow up every week.
And I'm so happy you asked if I'm watching that show, because I feel like I get asked all the time, like, are you watching this show? And like 98% of the time, my answer is like, I haven't seen it yet. So I'm so happy that you asked one that like I have actually seen.
It is a gamble.
Yeah.
But it's fun. This is a fun season. Highly recommend everyone check it out.
Yeah.
So we have to ask you a question.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. I saw the mouse scrolling over.
Sorry. I was a little slow.
No, it was great.
It's good. Yeah, boy.
Bake Off gets a yeah, baby. We ask everyone this question: of players currently in the league, who would you kiss?
Yes. Okay, so I have thought about this a little bit, and I have two answers.
We love when people prepare.
Yeah.
So I would say two answers. One, first one would be Joel Embiid, because I think that I'm a Sixers fan, but I just think that, like, it would generally lead to like a funny photo afterwards. Mm. Like he's so memeable that he'd probably like make a funny facial reaction that would just be like, oh, this is a fun loving picture that we have.
So you think there's gonna be a photographer there?
I mean, I guess in my head, yeah, I was thinking that. I was thinking, what is it? Like when maybe he's like walking off the court or something.
Okay, okay. So he sees you in the crowd and he just had
a big win.
Yeah, he's feeling good. He sees you and he's like, and then he's like, I just have to kiss that guy.
Yeah, yeah. On my way out. I'm like, Joel, like yelling to him, like, Joel, can I get a kiss? And he sees me and he like we make eyes and he kind of knows like, oh, this will be funny. This guy looks like he's like somebody will take a picture of this, and I bet it'll look funny. He's thinking that too. So we both kind of have. So I think like that's kind of why it would work out.
Also, maybe you're up. You know, you're maybe like the third row up by the tunnel, and so you're kind of tall. You're like his height.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you lean over the railing.
Yeah, you're leaning over him for once.
Yeah, and then he holds your face and like.
Yeah. It'd be a funny thing where he's having to reach up and extend for a kiss, and people are like, "This is silly." But the only thing I wouldn't want is if there's like a kid in front of me and I have to like push them away for it. That would lead to like bad press.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Also, maybe he gives the kid sneakers afterwards. You know, that kid'll be fine.
Yeah. Or maybe like I get the kiss from Joel, he leaves, and then like Seth Curry, who's also good, but he walks by and gives the kid sneakers and the kid's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn. I would have taken the kiss though from Embiid.
That's what the kid was angling for.
Yeah. The kid's like, damn, that was
no,
awesome.
that could turn into some weird PR. They can't have players kissing children. Like
that's true. So
you're a grown man.
Kid.
You're like, I'm here.
You
I'm available.
Saved that kid.
Yes, exactly.
And Joel, so, honestly.
Yeah. So that was the reason why I wanted to kiss Joel.
The photo would make the rounds. Everyone would see it.
Yeah,
there would be memes of it all over the internet.
He would tweet something so funny too with the photo.
I guarantee if I went to like down to Philadelphia and went to like a cafe, they'd give me a coffee for like half off or something.
They'd be like, "You're the guy from the picture."
Guy. I'm like, "Yeah, free coffee." They're like, "No, but almost."
10% discount.
People would be wanting to kiss you to get that energy, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
Embiid energy.
Yeah. And then what if the Sixers would just have like a streak where they just win and win and win and it all is because of you?
Yeah.
That would be the dream. I mean, that would be awesome. It would be certainly better than if they lost after that.
So you're a Sixers fan,
and then you get a honorary ring at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And maybe they raise like a picture of the meme to the rafters and being in this sort of like trend where I don't know.
Yeah,
but, I love that.
The other player would be, I think, like Damian Lillard, because I was thinking he's so committed to like Portland and like the craft that you know, like he would. I think like commit to the kiss, or he's like, you know, he's kind of in it to win it. So I think that he's like, I admire his dedication. So he would be kind of like, Joel is the more like jokey and Damian is the more like, okay, this is a good kiss.
Yeah. It'd be like a serious, he'd be like very invested in the kiss.
Mm. Yeah. And like, I don't even know if the kiss thing is like thinking long-term, but let's say it was like, he's the type of person that I think would be in like a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like,
who knows?
Anything could happen.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
He's not gonna make that decision lightly, though. He's not gonna just be like kissing around town. It'll be like, ooh, this means something to him.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So, do you have a team? Are the Sixers like your team?
Sixers are my team. Yeah.
How did you become a Sixers fan?
I spent ages 3 to 16 in Philadelphia, like outside in the suburbs. And like, that was just, you know, the formative sports years. So I grew up kind of during the Iverson era, and he was like, is probably my favorite basketball player. And he, He rules.
He does rule.
I see this. It's hard not to look at the scrolling screen.
We're talking about practice.
But yeah, exactly. I was like 15 or so when that, like, you know, the practice stuff came out, and he was the man, and the Sixers were doing well, and, you know, so they just became my favorite team. And over the years, I think they've had, probably wasn't until, like, you know, the trust the process years with Embiid and Simmons that, like, they kind of started to have a solid-ish core again. I was also like huge on Markelle Fultz. Like, I was so excited when they got him, and like his college highlights were amazing, and he's so good. And I was so bummed that it didn't work out. And like, and then it's also a bummer that like he's on the Magic now and like not doing so, or he's injured now, I think, but like he hasn't had like his breakout, and I feel bad.
I know. I want to hear the Markelle Fultz story someday kind of hear from him what this has all been like, you know,
because I
feel for him as well. Definitely a tough story. And I'm sure there's something else going on there, you know, but it's none of our business.
But the Sixers have seemed to, I mean, like, yeah, it's crazy. I was like Team Fultz, and then like a year or two ago, I got one of those like t-shirt jerseys, you know, it says Sixers on the front and then a team member's name on the back with the number. And I got Embiid, but I for so long was wanting Simmons. I thought like I was on Team Simmons for so long, like, oh, he's the one to keep versus him and Embiid. And then like after last year, I've just flip-flopped on that because like Embiid was an MVP. And as you know, I'm sure you've dissected it in some other episodes, but all the Simmons stuff going on,
it's wild.
It's wonder, come up once or twice.
Wonder what's gonna happen with him, because he's just a ghost right now. I don't think he's helping his career. I mean, this, it's like he's just out of the picture completely, you know.
And it's so hard to like speculate as fans, especially because like there's mental health things involved, and it's like you're kind of just on the sidelines like, well, hope this gets resolved soon so like he can start playing again and the Sixers can get someone else.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe he could get to a healthy place.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, I like the Sixers.
Nice.
Well, I mean, who knows? They could have a great year with or without him.
With or without. Yeah. That song plays.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be back on that court for the Sixers, but anything could happen.
So. Yeah. And they had like, they came out of the gates pretty well. And the Tyrese Maxey, who's on their team, is like, I feel like he's doing really well. He seems like he could be a star, or just like a stalwart of their lineup. But what are your favorite teams? I think that when I was like doing some reading, it was the Mavs and the Warriors is.
Yeah, I mean, we both have moved around a lot. So,
yeah.
Like, I would say that we definitely have teams that are our favorite, but we're not like single team people. Agata grew up in Dallas.
Yeah. So, that's when I started watching basketball, was watching the Mavericks, which I mean, I don't like their organization anymore, so I feel weird calling myself a Mavericks fan because I think they fucking suck now, and I hate Porzingis and
and Jason Kidd. Yeah.
But I do still love Luka. That's my Eastern European brethren, so I will support him till the day I die, unless he does something horrible, in which case I will not support him anymore. Make that clear. And then I love the Clippers. We've been to a lot of Clippers games.
Yeah, that's kind of our, we adopted the Clippers when we moved here to LA because it's easier to go.
Easier to go to the games? Was that kind of the deciding factor between choosing Clippers
over
Lakers?
It was part of it. Also just like,
it's hard to be a Lakers fan when you're a transplant because you feel like you're bandwagoning. And then also like I'm from Phoenix and the Suns were my first team that I really loved. And the Lakers were our enemy. I mean, they're the enemy of like everybody, right?
Yeah. Like, and also like, I feel like I don't know. It's like you can't win with them because they hate the Clippers fans, but they also like don't want you to be bandwagoning as like a transplant. So it's just like there's no winning. And I liked the vibe of Clippers games much more, and I liked the Clippers fans way more because they were just like, yeah, we're, you know, our team is much smaller. There's way less fans. We are fine with that. Like,
yeah.
And the Lakers are kind of like, the Lakers fans are kind of like bullies. They're like, oh, you guys suck. And it's like, we know we suck.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us. Yeah. We can see the standings. Yeah,
like, you don't need to count up all the Lakers fans. Like, we understand there is many, many more Lakers fans.
Yeah, we get it. You've got Denzel. We've got Billy Crystal.
Yeah, Billy Crystal is the top of the pile for like, us. Like,
we get it.
And it was like, for me, I thought it was very fun for like, especially the first few years. I mean, now I've been here for 8 years, so maybe like up until they became like serious contenders, which is like when, you know, Kawhi came over.
Yeah.
Like before that, I feel like it was fun. And then once it was like Kawhi came here, then it kind of, the narrative switched to like, well, now the Clippers are the one to beat and they suck. Yeah. And we fucking hate them. And it's like, okay, well, I don't like being in this position.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be like the team that no one cares about than the team that like everyone's actively hating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty fast, like just in getting George and Kawhi Leonard, they immediately became like, they were like, I thought they would win the title that year, but like people were treating them as if they had already won multiple titles and like hating them like they hated the Warriors or something.
That they were a super team. Yeah. Like they were going to be like the next Warriors. And it was like, I mean, and it didn't work out because of course it didn't, because like there's a million factors that go into whether a team can win a championship that are not just like putting together some great players, you know, like there's a million other things,
which I think the Nets are kind of proving right now.
Yeah.
I am a Warriors fan, though. I lived in the Bay Area for 10 years and I moved there around the same time that Steph Curry did. So it was also kind of the same thing. It was really cheap to go to games. And, you know, I watched that team go from not great to this really amazing, you know, winning team. And so I always have a soft spot in my heart for the Warriors. And it's been fun watching them this season, too, because they've got all these young guys who are doing really well.
Yeah,
I know. It's a total, because over the last, like, you know, since LeBron's been in the league and in recent years, I've become like, I feel like this happens. People are like, a lot of people are team LeBron or like love him and say he's the GOAT. And I'm kind of like on that, maybe because his like basketball span kind of like when he retires, I think I'll feel a little bit like I am retiring in some way.
Because we're like, you worked so hard.
So I'm like, but I'm just kind of like, he's like part of the last crew of like maybe NBA players that are kind of like, he's still somewhat at the peak of his game but like declining and getting older. And when he's out of the league, then it'll be like all guys that kind of came into the league when I was a little bit older. So I didn't have that say. I'm sure LeBron thinks he shared the journey with me too.
Yeah. Yes. He does talk about it in some of his interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was like a 20-minute like monologue in the Space Jam movie about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was pretty like, epic. What? I wrote some of it. Yeah. but when the Warriors were playing the Cavs and like all those awesome series in the mid 2010s, like I hated the Warriors just like so many people. But now they've done like the opposite of the Clippers, where the Clippers became like hated very quickly, and the Warriors, at least to me, are very like lovable again. And I'm just like marveling at how good Steph Curry is, and it seems like they just have a ton of role players that like Jordan Poole that just step up randomly, and they're fun.
I mean, I think to me it makes sense. Like the teams that start dominating, it makes sense that everyone kind of turns on them. But I feel like with the Clippers, it just wasn't fair because they never even got a chance to get there before everybody was like, fuck the Clippers.
Yeah.
They're
going
to beat our asses. And then it's like, no, they're not. They still have many issues.
Yeah.
Do you think some of it was like pushback just like against super team mentality, or like people thought that it was just too unfair? Like that was the super team that a lot of people.
I mean, Yeah, and I mean, the Lakers fans were going to be pissed off no matter what. Because they wanted Kawhi.
I think that's a lot of it, though. Like, a lot of teams wanted Kawhi. And they just thought, if Kawhi's on a team, it wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't true.
Right.
It, you know, takes more than just him. But I think a lot of people were pissed that this deal happened with Kawhi and Paul George, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were jealous or yeah, they thought it somehow made things unfair or whatever, but I don't know. I think it was just, it's easy to hate on them. Like,
yeah.
Really, like, we like players from, like, all different teams. Like, we're not really that.
I'm watching a lot of Bulls games right now. Like, I love I'm also, I've seen a lot of OKC games recently. Like, it's just fun. I think I'm just a fan of the league in general. And yeah, I like watching fun basketball.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. There's like no better feeling than if you're having kind of a slow day or like things just don't seem that exciting when you look at see an ad on TV or look online, you're like, oh shit, there's a good basketball game on tonight. Like, it's just such a nice feeling that you're like, well, the day's going like so-so, but tonight I can flip on like Mavs Bucks or something and watch Doncic and Giannis go at it.
I love it.
For sure. Yeah.
Let's get into some news.
Okay.
Ooh.
So much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all, which is why we cover it in a brief segment called Previously on Basketball.
Previously on Bones.
Basketball.
Oh, Bones. The show I've only seen right before a TNT NBA game. The Golden State Warriors have the best record in the league without the benefit of soon-to-return Klay Thompson. Rookie Evan Mobley leads the Cavs to a 20-point comeback win over the Celtics. Nikola Jokic receives a one-game suspension for last week's shoving incident with Markieff Morris. Trailblazers president Chris McGowan resigns amid probe into bad behavior in the organization. The NBPA is recommending all players and coaches get vaccine boosters ASAP. Raptors' Fred VanVleet is fined $15,000 for doing big balls dance popularized by opposing assistant coach Sam Cassell. Kevin Garnett reveals his favorite movie, the 2001 John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale rom-com Serendipity.
Wow.
What?
Let's watch this. Let's see this quote from Kevin Garnett.
Every time I watch Serendipity, I feel like I'm watching it for the first time. You know what I'm saying? Each time I'm like, no, get back on the elevator. Go, go. Like, fuck.
And there's this photo of him in like a giant beanbag.
Oh my God.
I thought you said Durant at first and I was super confused, but okay, Garnett. Yeah, that makes a little more sense, but still.
Does still. It? I mean.
I don't know. I guess maybe he's like, he's been in movies. Maybe he's a little bit of like a cinephile himself. Or
he's a cinephile.
Also,
yeah.
I think Kevin.
I think that's it.
Kevin Durant, I think, wouldn't want that to be a part of his image, but Kevin Garnett, I think, doesn't give a shit.
Like, yeah, I mean, as you can tell by that, like, I mean, you can't see it on the podcast, but like the picture here, he's massive beanbag chair, kind of like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's from his GQ interview.
Oh, amazing.
I like the design in his house, actually.
Oh, what a cutie. He's so cute. I'm not a fan of his house, but you know, taste is subjective.
He's wearing a red cable knit like hoodie zip up.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a cutie. I mean, I know he's like a shit talking mean guy, but
nah,
that's on the court.
Nah,
yeah.
He did such a good job in Uncut Gems.
He really did.
So proud of him. All right, let's look at Fred VanVleet, please.
Let's look at these big balls.
Yes, I was watching this game.
He hits a three.
Oh, they're too heavy. He's got to hold them.
He's got to waddle.
Wait, what? This is a Sam Cassell thing?
Yeah, Sam Cassell apparently used to do this often. Look, it was a different time. This is,
but what is,
is that cool? Do guys want to have like super big and heavy balls?
Honestly,
with your hand,
it seems like a disadvantage, right?
Yeah, like it would be hard to dunk a basketball if you got real heavy hangers.
And they're sensitive. They're sensitive. They're gonna be like banging into things. You're gonna be like, ouchie, ouchie, ouchie.
Yeah. If it gets physical out there, you know, guys are backing up into you.
I'm gonna go for those big balls every time.
Yeah. What do you, I mean? It is a pretty good celebration just from a viewer standpoint. Like,
I love watching
that. You're just sort of like, wait, what the fuck just happened? But yeah, what do you think they're trying to signify? Like, I have big balls and I can rise to the occasion, or because it's, I don't know, it's
I'm the man. I think
I have the balls big enough to make a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
courage,
despite my large testicles, I still can make a 3-point shot.
I've overcome this horrible deformity.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's trying to say.
I like how they call it a dance too. like he's on his twinkle toes.
This is funny because I recently watched the Malice at the Palace documentary on Netflix, and this just makes me think, like, pre-Malice at the Palace, things were so much more relaxed, and now he's being fined $15,000. Like, there's other bad celebrations that are happening.
Yes.
Like, when let's fine Anthony Davis for sniffing his finger.
Okay, that's
about
so
that?
Gross to me.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Wait, he always does that. He's like,
oh, come on. I didn't know this was a thing.
Where was your finger at, dude? What are you even doing
what are you
with that
saying?
Finger?
Yeah. That, like, what is that saying?
That's so much grosser.
Yeah.
I have never seen that.
Oh, there's, oh, I
oh,
hate it.
Oh, no, AD.
I mean, it's like a you know, like, raunchy teen rom-com from the 90s move of like, dude, did you hook up with her? Let me smell your finger.
Is he saying he fingered the ball? Is that what he's saying?
I mean, it kind of checks out. AD is like a noted Stifler fan, so I think that this is.
Yeah, he is.
The only thing, going back to like the Van Vliet one, the one only reason like his was kind of like endearing or charming in some way is because he's like a shorter player, and also I think maybe wasn't drafted or drafted lower down. So like there's kind of like a fun like cuteness, underdogness to it. Like, all right, man, like you've earned it. You can do this, but still and I guess he also overcome like came the big balls to shoot.
I love it, and I think it's very funny to think about him like planning it the night before, like, if I get a really good shot,
like, oh hey, Sam Cassell's on on their coaching staff, maybe I'll
gotta do the ball thing
after.
Yeah, he's like in his hotel room, calls in Pascal Siakam, he's like, hey man, I've been thinking about like a couple of celebrations to do you mind if I run them by
I just need to bounce this off someone. What about big balls? I hope that's true. I do love Fred. He's a very lovable guy. He also, the Raptors, it's like, let them do whatever they want right now. They had a really shitty time recently. They just live in Tampa, you know? Come on.
That
I forgot.
A fate worse than death. Just kidding to our Florida people.
Yeah, we have so many listeners who live in Florida around Tampa.
Just joshing. I did watch this new show on Amazon. It's called Tampa Bays.
Uh-huh.
B-A-E-S.
Great.
Oh. It's a reality show about the lesbian scene in Tampa.
Is it fun? Is it a good show?
I loved it.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Check it out.
Okay. My, reality TV show viewership has skyrocketed during quarantine.
Oh,
so
really?
Or like in post-pandemic even too, but like or wherever we are, I don't know if it's post-pandemic or mid, but
we're
like,
still mid.
We're still
What are the history books gonna call this era?
We're still right in the thick of it. This is now my forte. I watch a lot of reality shows. What did you watch?
So like 90 Day Fiance and some of the other versions of them.
The Other Way, Single Life.
Yeah. Married at First Sight, Sexy Beast, Dating Around.
Yes.
There's a one in the UK and like I think in some European countries called Naked Attraction. I don't think they have it here.
Yes,
but that's a fun one. Yeah. those are kind of like some of the heavy and Great British Baking Show. Yeah.
Wait, Naked Attraction, is that the one where they pan up a naked person and then you have to like choose who you like by their like genitals
by their bush.
yeah. It goes in like four stages. They have these like five pods that people are standing in naked and one person's picking. So first, the pods, like the window in the front or whatever, like the covering rises up to like bush level. and then the person kind of like gives like analysis, and it's very, everyone on it is very like positive, and they're and then the next one goes to chest, then you reveal the head. And that one is the worst level because like whoever they eliminate in that one, it's like they're eliminating like on seeing, they've like lasted this far, then they see your face, and if you get eliminated, it's like, but that one is quite addicting too. Yeah,
it's very like specifically European because you know that would never fly here.
No, never.
No.
I love it.
And one thing I like about it is it's like all different kinds of bodies.
Yeah.
Yep,
like 100%. That would never happen. If it was in the US, it would just be like hot LA people.
Yeah.
And totally.
There it's like there'll be someone who'd be like, that person shaved and I actually like a lot of bush. So
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, great.
Yeah. I saw an episode that was like all trans people. And yeah. Like, great, sure.
Yes.
Let's do that here. I mean, imagine like the fucking like Christians here.
No,
they would lose their minds.
I know. It's like it's a way that reality TV as like, you know, kind of mindless or shitty as, you know, it could be or people can say it is like that one is actually like they do good things. There's like a ton of visibility and representation on there. And it's super cool. But that's
normalizing all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think those are kind of the.
Do you watch Love Island? I mean, it sounds like based on your taste, you like a dating show.
I saw Too Hot to Handle.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You should watch Love Island.
The British Love Island.
Not the, well, you watch the American one sometimes,
it's not as
right?
good, but okay. the British is the original. Highly recommend it. There's a million episodes in every season because they release one every day. So
nice.
You have plenty of content.
Yeah, I like to stay up to date. I just finished Tiger King and Queen's Gambit.
You're going back into like
the beginning
early
of
pandemic mode.
Yeah.
You made a full circle.
Yeah, I've just started on Mayor of Bridgerton, so like fingers crossed. Sorry, that was... I've gone rogue.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, Love Island British.
Yeah. Watch it. I think because you seem to like the dating shows.
Yeah.
And that one's just, it's good
I do
fun.
Too. I have seen all of the ones that you listed. And that it is the, but there is a lot of boring stuff just because there is an episode every day. So can't have craziness every day.
But it can be really funny. And one season has a basketball player on it, professional basketball player.
Mm.
In like a league in the UK. So
that's right.
Oh, cool.
Let's look at this gravity-defying dunk that Carlick Jones on the Mavs G League team, the Texas Legends, did. It's just fun to watch this.
Ooh. I love a dunk.
Legends, sign up at texlegends.com. A monster slam.
It almost looks fake.
Oh wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Unbelievable.
It looks like someone like he was on a green screen and they just went whoop.
Yeah. Now did it look like, was that playing in slow-mo or was it like a little laggy so it was slow-mo-ish?
It might have been laggy. Let's watch it again.
Century 21 and the Legends, sign up at texlegends.com.
I mean,
wow.
He makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
I know.
He starts from so far back, too.
Yeah.
It was, that was fun.
Can we see Robin Lopez and Stuff the Magic Dragons matching bracelets, please?
So apparently they made a truce.
Robin, who's classically enemies with every single mascot.
Yeah, classically beats up mascots. And 1 month ago, they made a truce, and Stuff posted, "My coworker and I celebrated our 1 month truce anniversary. I surprised him with matching friendship bracelets."
What does it say?
Wait, so
forced to be friends since 2021. I love that. And Stuff is one of my favorite mascots because he's just so insane. Like the snot that comes out of his nose. Like, what the fuck?
He's bonkers.
It's
looking.
Pretty true. I had a dance off against him once.
Really? What?
Yeah. On the Tonight Show, there was a character called hashtag the Panda, which was basically like a dancing panda. And that was me. Mm-hmm. And like one time we did a show in Orlando and like he came on and we had like a panda and Stuff dance off. And yeah, it was awesome. He's the man. Stuff rules.
Who won?
That's a good question. My guess would be that we like did a joint dance at the end so that everyone would
yeah.
But I can't
remember.
You
don't want to
exactly.
piss off his fans.
No, yeah. Definitely not. Stuff Nation, please don't at me.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
He's rad. I'm sure he's a good dancer too. He's got those sneaks on.
Okay, let's move on to our next segment, the Cutie Comment of the Week. Each week we highlight our favorite comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's the Cutie Comment of the Week. Wow! This week's comment is from Pickles in Space in reference to a... let's look at the post first. The recent provocative Instagram post from Liz Cambage... Okay, Liz Cambage classically posts a lot of sexy things on her Instagram.
She's
our big fan.
She's the center for the Las Vegas Aces. She's constantly modeling.
She's very hot.
Very skimpy bikinis. Or this was
that was a bodysuit. That was
Savage X Fenty bodysuit.
Fully see-through. Butt out. And then what did Pickles in Space have to say? Does anyone else utilize Liz Cambage as a coping mechanism? Honestly, yes. Every time she posts, I smile. It's better than therapy. That's what I always tell my therapist.
That's your comment on every one of her images.
I'm always just posting that the sweaty, horny emoji that's like...
the hot one?
Wait, which is the sweaty, horny one?
It's like, I think it's called
he's
hot.
He's got like his tongue out and he's sweating. He's like,
yeah, that one, yeah. Hot face emoji.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're ever looking for me, just check her comment section because I will be in there
with sweaty, horny emoji.
Yeah, I'm just surprised we didn't get to. Tanner again.
Tanner.
Stinky Tanner.
I have to say, Tanner.
Tanner's banned.
Tanner is currently kind of pissing a lot of people off.
Because,
No, I banned him from tagging me because he tagged me at 7 a.m.
But
nobody's allowed to tag me at 7 a.m.
He started a whole thing where he was like, everyone show your mud, meaning like, what coffee are you drinking in the morning? Like, Mud Crew, show me your sludge or whatever. And then he like did it for 2 days and then dropped off. So the Mud Crew is like, hey, Tanner, look at my mud. And then he's not in the Discord. And he'd be like, what? I was driving. And everyone's like, fuck you, Tanner.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Things are getting contentious in the Discord. If you want to get in there and join the arguments.
It's cracking me up. I love looking every morning. What's going to happen with Tanner?
If you want to get in there, you have to join our Discord. And you can do that by signing up on our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. $5 members also get early access to ad-free episodes as well as 2 bonus episodes per month. You can also sign up annually. All right, let's look at our mail basket. I think we got something fun today.
Oh yeah, we did get something fun. I just want to compliment you. That was so fast. You like read that.
I'm like an auctioneer now.
You really are.
$5, $5, $5.
You auction off our Patreon? Yeah.
Today we have a package from Dan. What did he send us?
Okay, Dan, aka Anton Squared Me.
Yeah, he sends us random things occasionally. You may remember him from our previous coffee Kit Kat.
Yeah, he sent a giant box of mocha Kit Kats. Mm. I can't eat those.
Oh, I ate mine real fast.
I forced a bunch on Agata, and then every time I would,
all of our friends, she was just handing them out to our friends.
You know how like when your friends invite you over, you might bring a bottle of wine or something, but I would bring Kit Kats.
I think that's good. People like Kit Kats.
Yeah, but then Molly was like, "Do not bring me any more Kit Kats."
Yeah, I think it's reasonable.
But this time,
Oh my God.
Dan sent a giant box of candy cigarettes.
Ooh. What?
Why? So many?
It has little packs in it, like Stallion.
Yes. Are those the ones that are like chalky, or the ones that have gum that you blow in it and it puffs out smoke?
Good question. I don't know. I think they're chalky.
Yeah, I don't think there's any smoke coming out of these.
The design on the packs is very cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They look like real cigarettes.
Retro, elegant.
This is gonna get me addicted, though. So let's see how this goes. I can't open one.
You should keep these for when we film our short film.
Yeah. Because we wrote a bunch of smoking into it, but we don't want to.
Yeah. And it, you know, they look like real cigarette.
And you don't have the budget, like, party down, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first line of our short film is like, well, it's the apocalypse and no one's around.
It's a real last man on earth situation. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? They don't look good.
It doesn't look like a cigarette, first of all. It is very chalky. Weird texture.
They're like weirdly browned.
Yeah, why is it brown? Is that are they like super old or something?
Yeah, they're just really chalky. And
do you feel cool with them? Like if you pretend smoking, like you're smoking, does it feel
it doesn't cool? No, because I feel like they don't pass as cigarettes, you know? Nobody would be like, oh, you're smoking. I don't know if you guys can see how weird it looks.
But I do have to say, so I have a like weird oral fixation where I'm like constantly touching my mouth. Hey, get your head out of the gutter. Hey. And so I love just doing this, you know, just putting it to my mouth, pretending I'm smoking.
I don't like the taste.
No, it tastes bad. No. when I was...
Now are you going to hand these out to our friends?
Yes, I'm going to bring them to every party.
So many packs.
When I was 13, my parents were newly divorced, and my dad immediately started dating. And this woman named Margie that he was dating, the first time he like introduced us to her, me and my sister, we had candy cigarettes, and we were walking around going like this with candy cigarettes. And Margie said, "You let your kids smoke?" I was like, "Dad, you need to dump her. She is dumb as shit." Anyways, thanks, Dan. Stop sending us stuff.
And if you are going to do it, just send like one. We don't need 24 packs of candy cigarettes.
I told Dan, send me some like potting soil or like shampoo, something I can use.
I don't think that's not his thing. You know?
Not his style.
Yeah. We appreciate it. But yeah, we don't want you wasting your money.
Yeah. Don't waste your hard earned money.
Yeah. You work hard at doing chess stuff.
Yeah, he's a chess guy.
His job is chess related.
I wonder if he's seen Queen's Gambit, the chess show that I'm...
Oh, he has.
If you have any questions,
I think everyone has seen Queen's Gambit.
We can hook you up with him if you want to ask him any questions about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure he'd happily, yeah. If you want to know any like is that real the way that they did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Dan, first question, what is a rook?
Like, and which direction can a knight go again?
What is the queen's gambit? Yeah.
What's a gambit, first of all? This and many more answered.
I actually read the book for that a long time ago, and it's such a good book. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Anyways, they do explain what the Queen's Gambit is.
Well, maybe I'll read it. No, I won't. I'm not going to read it. If you want to send us something, if you want to send us an email, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or leave a message on our cutie hotline 903-420-DUNK. We also, if you want to send us something, we also have an address on our, I don't have it here. It is here. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 105, Los Angeles, California, 90027. You can send us stuff.
Send me some potting soil.
She needs some potting soil. I will also take some potting soil, some pots.
Yeah. Plant food.
Dog food. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, and that is not her address, so don't show up there thinking that you're gonna go.
Yeah, don't show up there. Us. The employees at the mailbox place will be like, she does not live here. Yeah. Leave.
Yeah, and we famously have a very popular mailbox place.
Lots of celebs.
Frequented by celebs. our good friend Jason Concepcion and us, we have a text chain where him and his girlfriend, Christina, we just chat about what packages are seen there and for who. It's a real gossip thread.
Yeah.
Is it the post office on Hillhurst?
So it's not a post office. It's like it's a mailbox place where you can just pay money. Place. Yeah, like you can buy, you can pay money for a box there.
It's called Goodman Shipping. Everyone's so nice there. Highly recommend it if you need to ship something.
Great small business. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's it. Thank you so much, John, for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
No. Oh, actually, yeah, but there was also one other thing I wanted to throw in real quick, like from last time you were talking with Isaiah and someone said that Austin Reeves looks like Jesse Eisenberg.
Uh-huh.
And then and so then I was like, I think he looks like the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Him?
It's like a meme from like, I made this connection that I was like, ooh, I think this might be kind of cool and accurate. So I want to share it.
This, okay, so
that is.
But this one, Boom Goes the Dynamite, was like it was popular in probably like 2007-ish. It was like an early viral video. Whereas this kid? It was a he was like a college newscaster.
What if that is Austin Reeves?
It kind of looks like him. Yeah, I see that.
Anyway, Stuff Nation, let me know what you think. But it was like one of those early viral videos where I think he was a college newscaster and the teleprompter might have went out and he was super nervous and he was trying to do play-by-play on a game. And he was like, and then they take the shot and boom goes the dynamite. Like,
I've never seen that. I gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely looks like Austin Reeves, and it actually might be him.
Yeah.
That would be.
Oh my God, that would be amazing if that was him.
Everyone should check out your Twitter. You've got lots of funny basketball related stuff on there.
Oh yeah, sure. Check out my Twitter. Oh no, I'm ending the podcast like it started. I don't know.
You're like everyone's like boomer boss that's like, what is this tweeter?
So yeah, check me out on Twitter. I think I'm at Dr. Pemby. I don't know why, but at Dr. Pemby.
Because you have your PhD.
Yeah.
Because I have my PhD. Yeah. And check that out. Oh, and the only other thing I'll plug is just me and my friend. Like we recently kind of like started to make music, and it's kind of like 2000s, like late 90s grunge emo stuff. But so we only have one song out. The new song might come in, or album might come in like 2022, but the band is called Blazer Dog. BlazerDog. Nice. And it's on Spotify. And there's just one song, but Yeah, why not plug it when you got a chance?
Yeah, let's get that song to 1 million listens within a week.
Yes.
maybe Gabe can put a little clip in.
Oh yeah.
A little tease.
Ooh.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And thanks to all of our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at Agata Monica. Anastasia is on both at Anastasia Vigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.